Let's just pray for the word. Lord God, we thank you for your written word and the spoken word. We thank you, Jesus, that you are the living word. Lord, we pray your blessing upon the word of the Lord today. We ask, Lord, that you would bless us to hear and where we need to receive and to change. And Lord, we ask your blessing, please, upon the one that's sharing this message. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So before I share the word, let me begin by just a small introduction and a thank you. Those that don't know me, it's not a bad thing. For those that do know me, my apologies, you've suffered for many years now. I was fortunate enough to be sent to this church briefly when I was a small child. Not for holy reasons. I think my mum will be the first to admit that she just wanted to get me out of the house so that they could actually have a quiet morning. That's actually the truth. So came down very briefly where I think Dave had a good try and gave up, bless him. But then I was very fortunate to come back. When I came back to the Lord in 2002, I came to Christ at the age of, let's not do ages, but at an age. The Lord called me to go to Uganda within a year and a half of coming to Christ. And I've now entered my 19th year of being a missionary in Uganda. I am the most qualified person to do what I'm doing because God's in the business of taking the least qualified people that have no idea what they're doing and blessing them to do good things because he gets more glory when he uses morons. Most of the people that I work with will tell you on a daily basis they don't know how I function, but God turns up and we always do great things. At the moment, our charity Jenga, which this church supports, we help on an annual basis. We don't sit and count numbers, but it's at least 100,000 people a year, probably closer to 150,000 people. During the lockdown, when the whole country shut down, no one was allowed to operate for 4.5 months. The government in Uganda gave us full permission to continue, not to continue what we were doing because most of our programs weren't allowed to be continued. So what we did is we repackaged what we did, which is mainly proactive development work. We tried to get ahead of the problem to solve the problem so it stops people being bit by the problem. But during that time, we just diverted to straight relief work. Most people in Uganda, they didn't have face masks. Can you imagine? Even the government health workers didn't have face masks. We supplied all the health workers with their face masks. They don't have an ambulance service where we are, so we provided our vehicles to be an ambulance service. Most people in Uganda don't have soap, leave alone know how to wash their hands, let alone know what corona was. So we went around house to house giving out bars of soap as long as my forearm. And what we would do is we would tell everyone in the house, please come out the front. We're going to tell you how to wash your hands. You're going to get a big bar of soap as well. We're going to actually teach you how to make your own tap because most people don't have taps out there. And by the way, if someone's sick, we'll put them in the vehicle and take them to the hospital because there was no vehicles allowed to drive. And by the way, if you're starving, we got a little food support. And during that time, we managed to share the gospel with 46,500 people by going door to door. So, yeah, God doesn't stop being good, even when the world goes nuts and starts to fall apart, which seems to be happening a bit more recently. But God does not stop being sovereign. God still has a plan in all of this madness, and God remains good. Can I hear an amen in the house? Amen, amen and amen. So thank you. This church, which was mad at the time, you guys actually blessed me and commissioned me and sent me out. I think part of it was to get me out of the church. But you've continued to support me over those years, pray with us, financially sow into our ministry. So God bless you, church. That's why you remain my church. And I'm very proud to say this is my church, and I'm very proud when I get a chance to come back and just appreciate you, because as a church, you are sowing into a phenomenal ministry. Each month, we have approximately 200 people come to Christ every month. So we are the main organization doing prison work. We work in 9 prisons. We're the main organization working in the main hospital, which serves 10 million people and has less than 1,000 beds for 10 million people. So we're the main ministry working in that place. And we're the main ministry working with street children and women suffering with HIV/AIDS. And the area we're working in is an Islamic stronghold. We have the largest Islamic university in five nations in our city, which we thank God for because we have many, many people coming to Christ on a weekly basis. So thank you, church, for playing your part. Amen. Bless you. Well, no one else will take me, to be honest with you. I mean, you're the only ones you're lumbered with me. That's the problem. I mean, it's, yeah. So if you're new to this church, you will realize that you need to have a sense of humor to come to church. And if you want evidence that God has a sense of humor, just look at ourselves in the morning. He must have a sense of humor to put up with us. So thank you, church. Now, the word this morning. I had felt very strongly. Now, of course, it's Father's Day and God is good, which means all things are possible. So I'd very much wanted to talk about the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit this morning, continuing on from Pentecost. That's the word in season at the moment is the Holy Spirit. But of course, it's Father's Day. So somehow need to incorporate putting both the Holy Spirit and the Father together. Well, here's a good thing. God's already ahead of us. So 2,000 years ago, he gave me the scripture in John 4, which talks about worshiping God as Father in spirit and truth. Now, this scripture is profoundly true for us today. I would even be as bold to say, like the woman in, if we can throw it back up, Si, in verse... let's have a look. Where are we? Verse 22. Jesus says to this woman, "You don't know what you're worshiping." And we have many people in the world today that worship God in some shape or form, but most people, well, outside of Christ, I'll be bold enough to say they don't know what they're worshiping. And I'm sorry to say, church, but there are many of us that go to church and we don't know who we're worshiping. We come to church for religious reasons when God has made it very clear to us he wants a personal relationship for us. So when we look in this scripture, the woman was rightly being religious, saying, "We worship on this mountain," or "We worship in this place." And Jesus was making a point, it doesn't matter where you worship. Doesn't matter what church you go to, doesn't matter what denomination you're in, it doesn't matter if you're online at home watching now or you're in church right now, the first thing we begin with, we worship Christ. Why are we here? Amen? If we think it's what will lead to salvation is our pastor, or our husband, or our wife, or our parents, or by being, put this hat on, a Baptist, then you don't know the scriptures, because it is in Christ and Christ alone, and we are only here because of Christ and Christ alone. So Jesus was making the point to this woman, it's not about going to a certain type of place. Now it helps. God bless all of you who are still coming to church, because I know a lot of people I know are staying at home in bed on a Sunday morning to tune in. And that's not bad, but doing that all the time is not great. The best example I have of fellowship as Christians is if you have a burning hot fire and one of the coals falls out of the fire, and I've seen this is how people start to fall out of church and then they fall out of relationship with the Lord. If a burning hot coal falls out of the fire and sits on its own, after a period of time it loses its heat and it begins to get cold. And it's separated out of those we need to be fellowshipping with. We're called to be a family. Amen. We're called to come together and help each other, love each other, serve each other, pray for each other, stand for each other. That means fellowship. We have to have fellowship. We have to keep coming together in a way where we can uniformly meet the Lord, but also minister to each other at the same time. So if you're sitting at home and you're hearing this message, God bless you, but let's have you coming back into church, please, because we want you, we need you, God loves you, and this is where we get a chance to minister to each other today, as we're going to find out at the end, because we're going to pray for each other. So in this scripture, Jesus goes one step further. Jesus says to this woman, and by the way, he's not condemning this woman. This woman, what I love about this story is that this woman doesn't deny that she's had been with multiple partners. And if you read just before it, when Jesus came, he didn't come to condemn. He came to seek and save. There will be a time of condemnation and judgment at a certain point in the future. But at the moment, Jesus is in the business of seeking and saving the lost. And so he doesn't condemn this woman. He just meets with her and starts to challenge her about religion. and makes a point of saying that God wants a relationship with you, not as God, but as Father. Father. When Jesus taught us to pray the Lord's Prayer, what's the first word of the Lord's Prayer? Second word. Our Father. Not God of judgment, God of fire, God of brimstone, eternal God, God of mercy. Our Father first. Jesus came for many reasons, but one of the reasons was so that he could show what the Father was like. And when you see the Son, you know that there's a Father. So the first thing I'd say to us guys is that if you don't know God as Father, you're missing out on a massive part of knowing God. Because Father means intimacy, getting close. So we're going to pray today that the Holy Spirit is in the business. The Spirit is the Spirit of adoption. So when we receive the Holy Spirit, it helps us to know who our Father in heaven is. So, Jesus says, God the Father is looking for true worshippers. And true worship is you worship the Father, not just God. You worship the Father in spirit and in truth. If we look at, before we jump there, Daniel 11:32. So I want to challenge this church. Do you know who you're worshiping? Daniel 11:32 says, the people who know their God will be, anyone? Strong. And they will do mighty exploits, great deeds. We must know who our God is, because if God is with us, who can dare stand against us? But if you don't know God and you try and do some stuff on your own, bless you, but it's going to be tough. But if you know who this God is, who lives in you and stands with you and defends you and fights for you and goes before you, the people of God will be strong. And they would do mighty exploits. Hosea 4:6 says, my people are destroyed through what? Lack of knowledge. Lack of knowledge. The devil, popular to contrary belief, because we get too excited about the devil, I think, he's limited in his power and his authority, but the number one thing he uses against the children of God is lies, untruth, deception. When he comes to Eve in the garden, he says to Eve, did God really say that? Let me try to get you to doubt God by lying to you. Did God really say? When Satan comes to Jesus in the wilderness, three times, it says in the Bible, he takes something, twists it, and gives half a truth. If you look at the world today, how many people out there are struggling because of lies? People feel lonely. I get people feeling lonely, but how can you be lonely if you have God and the Spirit of God lives inside you? I'm not saying you might not be feeling lonely, but it's impossible to be lonely when the Spirit of God lives inside you. Some people don't feel loved. That's a valid feeling. But if God loves us, then the whole world can hate us because God loves us. So it's knowing God and His Word. Because if you know the truth will set you free. Jesus said that. So I want to say right up front, as we worship God, do we know who our God is? Do we know what the Word of God says about God? Do we know the Holy Spirit? Proverbs, should have got this one. Someone tell me, I think it might be 23:7 or 27:3, says, as a person thinks, so do they become. If you think you're nothing, you will act and feel like you're nothing. If you know that you are valuable and God loves you and He's on your side, you will behave accordingly. If you believe that your sins are not forgiven, you're going to walk around in guilt and shame, bent over. But if you know that every sin in Christ is forgiven, you will lift up because of grace and because of mercy and God's goodness. Amen? As a man thinks, so does he become, and so is he. If we look at verse 23, Father, I want to ask you today, many of our relationships with fathers will determine how comfortable we feel with knowing God as Father. If you didn't know your dad or you didn't have a close relationship, it's been proven that if your human representation of the Father, if it wasn't close, you're going to struggle to know Father God as Father because you don't know what it was like to be with Father. Those of us who are very blessed to have great fathers, we know what it is to have a father to be able to talk to. But for some of us, we don't know what that means, Father. I mean, it goes one step further in Scripture. Jesus cries out, Abba. Abba actually means daddy. It's more than father. It's like, you know, the real daddy, up close and personal. And Jesus is commanding us, saying the worship that God is looking for is to God the Father. God the Father. He wants a personal relationship with his children, up close and personal. And that's why we receive the Holy Spirit. If we go to verse 24, it tells us that God is Spirit. At the moment in the world, most of the friends I know, so I'm very fortunate to know a lot of believers, but a lot of the friends I know, a lot of the people that I did life with before Jesus, and even before I came to Christ myself, I would go to mediums and spiritualists trying to consult dead spirits. Anyone else got people they know and they care about that go and do that? It's craziness. Imagine just that concept for 1 second. First of all, dead spirits. Everyone that was born has lied. So we have people who are dead. When they are alive, they were liars. We can tell the truth and lie. So we're going to seek dead spirits to get information from them through a person who could also be a liar. And yet God says himself, okay, you don't need to go and see dead spirits. You don't need to go through a person to go and speak to dead spirits. I will give you my own spirit himself to live inside of you because of what Jesus did. And if you need to talk to a spirit, talk to the Holy Spirit. And if you need to go see someone, go see the Holy Spirit. And if you need someone to move with you and work with you, use the power of the Holy Spirit. It's nuts, huh? We get that huge blessing to help us live this life. So I'd ask us a question, church. Do we know the Holy Spirit? Because I found that there are many, if we look at the house of God, people normally are divided into two camps. There's not much balance in life. The world is unbalanced. The church is unbalanced. We're unbalanced. If you look at the traditional church is more word-based. Praise the Lord for the word of God. But they deny much of the Holy Spirit. And we need to be careful there because the Pharisees knew the word of God better than anyone else. Did the Pharisees know Jesus? And yet they were the teachers of the law. They were scholars of law. They knew law inside and out, and they didn't even know that Jesus was who their word was written about. Then on the other side of the room, you've got the charismatic Pentecostals, who I subscribe to, and they go after the Holy Spirit, which is wonderful, but many of them don't know the word of God. And that's also very dangerous as well, because Satan loves to lie about stuff. So actually, God calls us to value and know word and spirit equally. Can I get an amen? I want to challenge us because some people are very proud about the word of God, but they distance the spirit of God. They even fear the spirit of God. And some people are very, very charismatic with power, partnering with the Holy Ghost. But if you actually ask them, okay, well, let's compare that with the word of God. Don't quench the spirit of God. Okay, how does that work? Because the word of God actually is Jesus and the spirit of God is Jesus. So they're one and the same person. You don't have one or the other. You get both equally and the full package. Amen? So we are called to know both and desire both and to partner with both. Church, let me ask an honest question. Do you know the word of God? It seems to me there's a lot of us in church that don't know the word of God. Do you know the Holy Spirit? So for instance, when that voice comes and starts condemning you, Susie, you're no one. You can't do that. God's not listening to your prayers. He's not forgiven that sin. Do you know that that's not the Holy Spirit? That ain't the Holy Spirit. Some of us allow that negative voice that condemns us and criticizes us and puts us down and tells us we're nothing and tells us we're not loved and tells us that we're not. Whereas the voice of God is constantly, you are, you are, you are, you are. You can, you will. Do we know the voice of God? Are we studying the voice of God? The word of God is the voice of God. Are we partnering with the Spirit of God? Because we have too many people in the church who are here and we don't know God, or even in my case, we don't know God enough. The more I know about God, the more I realize the less I know about God. Does that make sense? The more I know, the less I know. And it is critical for us, especially the season that we're in, that we as a church make an effort to mature. It's critical. Yeah. Okay. So I'm going to bring this to land. So, I don't want to be a prophet of doom here, but let's have honest conversations, because it's all over the news in the first place. So if you look at the last 2 years with Corona and lockdown, it was unprecedented. Not so. The world didn't know what to do. The church didn't know what to do. We had never been there before. But now that we're through it, we shouldn't just throw it away and forget about it. Because those of us who have been listening to the Lord, and those of us that spend time in listening to people that really listen to the Lord, we are in a season, and the season is only going to get worse. So at the beginning of the year, you should know, the Lord told us in Uganda there's going to be a war this year that's going to affect the whole world. That was before anything of Ukraine happened. So we've been praying about this beforehand. We didn't know it was going to be Ukraine, but the Lord told us straight. And the Lord also told us that the economy is going to start suffering. And those of you, if any of you follow economics, sorry to be a bad news here, but it's good for us to be prepared for this. We're going to have to tighten our belts for a period of time, church. It's not going to get easier money-wise for at least 1, 2 years, 3 years. Follow the maths. Interest rates are going up. Price is getting more expensive. We haven't even yet felt the full blow of the grain situation or the power situation, because this thing is not going to stop in Ukraine or Russia for some time. Sorry to say. And even if it did stop right now, it's going to take some good time for Ukraine and Russia to get back up to where they were before with grain and energy. But I'm sorry to say, I also believe this is not the end of it. I think there will be, Ukraine's not the end. I think there may be something else which is going to come along. Now, the reason why I say this is because, one, it seems to be happening anyway, but secondly, we as a church, we pray for the best. We plan for the worst. Does that make sense? Now, here's the good news. God is in control. God is sovereign. I do not subscribe to the doom and gloom merchants who say the world's in the worst place it's ever been. Really? Look at the Second World War. That was pretty grim. Or the last time Tottenham won the Premier League. But my point being is the world is not all doom and gloom. We're not like we were in the Second World War. There's a lot of good in this world. There's a lot of love. There's a lot of things to thank God for. But if our hope, if our faith is in the world, you are going to be disappointed. And if it's in government, you're going to be disappointed. And if it's in money, you are going to be disappointed. If it's in your toys, you are going to be disappointed. And I have to say, church, I'm looking at a church which is, we're more on the mature side than the younger side. If you look at the current generation, those of us who grew up in times knowing the value of things, that you had to work before you got certain toys, and you had to save before you got. I'm sorry to say, but our younger generation needs to be humbled. Western society needs to be humbled. In Africa, they have nothing, and they're more happier than we are. Go figure that out. They know suffering like we do not know suffering in this country. And number one, they're more appreciative of what they have. Number two, their faith is off the scale. They know their God like we don't know our God. And when you know your God like that, because of poverty and oppression and injustice and trouble, God turns up more. God answers prayers more. I've seen it for the last 19 years. We see unbelievable signs, wonders, miracles, provision. We see it. I could give you a million testimonies. So church, the good news is, if the world gets darker, what happens to light in darkness? The light gets brighter. So these things need to happen. It needs to happen. And we've had a good run of it, church. I'm not saying the end is nigh, because again, balance is needed. You ever talk about this subject and people immediately go, I knew it was the end times. No, you don't. Jesus himself says, even the Son of God doesn't know the day or the hour. Not so. And for us, we don't focus on the end times. We focus on here and now and God with us. Emmanuel. Amen. But we are living in a world that has been too distracted, too busy running after things that fade away. And so God in his goodness is now starting to say, I am going to make the things of the world strangely dim. I'm going to make things slow down. I'm going to take away some of your toys. I'm actually going to humble you and make you think about bigger things than just getting wasted or having a good time. Church, we need it. But as a church, how are you going to do in this? Because if I look at Corona, so let's talk about an end with the Holy Spirit. So the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22, right up front. So there are 9 fruits of the Holy Spirit. There are 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit. When you get the Holy Spirit, you don't need to pray for God to give you these gifts or these fruits. They come as part of the package. It's just that we've got to allow the Holy Spirit to start manifesting them through us. Does that make sense? Too many times we're going, God, give me love. And God's going, you've got love. He lives inside you. You just need to work with him to let love come through you. It's not like a little needle we get in our arm. Scripture says, Romans 5:5, the love of God is poured into our hearts by who? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit pours the love of the Father into our hearts. Who lives in us already? The first fruit of the Holy Spirit is love. The gift of God. Amen. So that's the first fruit. Just look at the first three. That's the answer to most of the mental health depression issues at the moment. Love, joy, and peace. If you sit with an awful lot of people at the moment who are struggling, they need just those three things. They need to know that they're loved, real love, not this worldly fake love. They need to know peace. And they need to know joy, real joy. A lot of people are miserable. Just those first three things alone would change the world. We have the answer, church. So let me ask you a question, because in Corona and the lockdown, if I was to take a survey and say, let's ask your nearest and dearest around you, how did the church during that time of lockdown? Did they see love in the church when we were getting squeezed? Or did they see us throwing our fingers at everyone else and arguing with everyone else? Brexit was a great example. Let me tell you, God's bigger than Brexit. God's bigger than Corona. God's bigger than fill in the blank. Donald Trump is going to blow up the world. I mean, every time there's a different thing. Now it's Russia's going to take over the world. Next it'll be China. There will always be something coming along to try to steal our faith and our hope and our joy and our love, and we get squeezed. So now's a good time to check ourselves from the lockdown. How did we do, church? When you were squeezed, was it love that came out of you? Was it peace that came out of you? Or were we running around like a headless chicken like everyone else? Because we are going to continue to go into some of these things. And it starts with us. We are the only Bible that most people we know reads. Not so. We are the only Christian that most people we know reads. How are we doing in the areas of the fruit of the Holy Spirit? Because the Bible tells us that it's love that changes the world. Love. Not condemnation, not fancy words. Love changes the world. If you look at the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the first three, and this is something, you know, if we're talking about deceit, for me, one of the biggest lies in the church is that the things of the Holy Spirit died with the apostles. I don't find much scripture to say that. The cessation of the gifts, that makes no sense. How do we get the fruit of the Spirit, but then we say that the gifts of the Spirit can't work? It's the same Spirit, one God, one ministry, one body. Read 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 12, I will read you 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 12 said, concerning spiritual gifts, I do not want you to be ignorant. Verse 3. No one can say that Jesus is Lord except for the Holy Spirit. And the gifts of the Spirit go with the fruits of the Spirit, 9 of them. The first three gifts of the Spirit are knowledge, wisdom, and faith. Church, do we not need wisdom and knowledge at the moment? It's the first three gifts. Before you get into the more charismatic Pentecostal ones, the first three gifts of the Holy Spirit are knowledge and wisdom. My God, the church needs wisdom at the moment and knowledge. And my God, do we need faith to believe that God is still true and cares? Because a lot of what goes on outside the doors in our families will rip the faith out of your heart. Not so. So we need to know the fruit of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit, because they come as part of the package of the Holy Spirit, who you receive when you receive Christ. Here's the good news. The Holy Spirit is free. Comes with the gift of salvation. You accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, you get the Holy Spirit. But some of us don't know the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to end with two testimonies. Two true testimonies. So, number one, I go to an Anglican church 3 weeks ago in Ashford, Kent. And there's a 70-something-year-old woman. She's been a solid believer all her life. She loves the Lord. Her husband is in a dementia care home 3 years and with Parkinson's. Now, if you can imagine, as she said, she told me this testimony herself while sobbing. It gets very hard to keep praying when you don't see much change. And when the husband that you've been married to for 40-something years, is 3 years in a dementia care home with Parkinson's, as she said, it gets hard to use the same words over and over. Not so. Sometimes it even gets hard to use words. Like, what can you say? But she read in the Bible that there's some stuff in there about groaning in the Holy Spirit and praying in tongues, because she didn't have any more words that herself that she could say. And she found herself, when she would go into prayer, all that was inside her was pain. So she prayed, okay, God, I'm already groaning, but somehow can my groaning be holy? And I have no words to pray, because for 3 years I've been praying for my husband. So I want to pray in your language. So she says the Holy Spirit comes on her. She starts groaning in a new way. She feels God on her like she's never felt God before touching her. And she didn't use a language. She didn't say, I prayed in tongues. She said, and I started making strange noises when I was praying. That's the gift of tongues, if you don't know the gift of tongues. On the same day, the home call her, as well as three other visitors who visited her husband. On the same day in the morning when she experienced the Holy Spirit like that, this is a 70-year-old woman who's known the Lord a long time, but not the Holy Spirit like that. The home ring her and say, the weirdest thing, your husband's sitting up in bed, he's in his right mind, and he's having conversations with these three sets of visitors. He can remember them, he can remember where they're from, he can remember how he knows them, he can remember people who know those people, and he's asking about people that he couldn't remember and what's going on in their life since the last time he remembered. Praise the Lord. The home rang the wife. The wife didn't even visit her husband or pray for him. She's just praying in the Holy Spirit at home, and she doesn't even know what she's praying, because she's praying in the Holy Spirit in tongues and groaning. And in the meantime, she's obviously praying about her husband, who she loves. He gets touched by the Holy Spirit. He was so touched after 3 years in the home of dementia, full dementia and Parkinson's, that they let him come home for Jubilee weekend. Praise the Lord. Now, I'm not saying that he's healed of Parkinson's, and I'm not saying he's healed of dementia. I don't know the rest of that story. I only know on that Sunday that that's what she was telling me had been confirmed by the home and by three sets of visitors who were ringing her saying the strangest thing. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. The other one I'll tell you is when I was in America, in Kansas City, about 5 weeks ago, I'm staying Airbnb. I prayed. I took a random Airbnb. I ended up staying with a very godly man. And the man was desperate. He was actually working for the church. He was on the worship team. But he was just hungry for more. He was like, you know, this is good, but there must be more than this. Like, I'm so not satisfied. I have people that don't know Jesus. There are people who need healing. How can I be content? You know, one of those Bible verses when you read and you're like, yes and no at the same time. Be content in every situation. Amen. How? I can't be content when people are suffering. So there's a tension. But yes and amen to being content in every situation. Anyway, we go, he gets a prophetic word. You need to try a little evangelism. That's what someone said to him. I was there. We went to an event. Someone was there, a total stranger. He prophesied over us because the Spirit of God is the spirit of prophecy. He told the guy I was with A, B, C, D, and the guy said, that's all true. And then he added in, you need to do a little evangelism. So we stop at the fuel station to get some nachos. Those are no nachos. And it was a busy fuel station for me as an English person. I was just people watching. But this guy now is like, okay, that guy just told me some stuff which was true. And he told me to do this, so I'm going to do it. So he starts chatting to the young guy behind the counter, 23 years old. He's had seven car accidents at the age of 23, written off 5 cars. Now, my word of knowledge would have been, I don't think you should be driving. I'm not sure that would have been the Holy Spirit. That would have been me saying, don't drive. Anyway, his body is riddled with pain. So we pray for him. We're like, listen, man, can we pray for you? And the guy is bold. Now, if the guy turns around and says no, okay. Guy says, yes, I need prayer. My body is, I believe in God somehow. He actually said, I take my grand to church, but I don't really. It's the only reason I go is I drive my grand. But I don't really believe it. So, okay, well, do you need healing? Yes. Can we pray for healing? Yes. Can we pray here right now? Yes. So we pray, and then we ask him afterwards, how are you doing? And he says, it's a bit better. And we're like, well, how much? And he went, about 60%. Now, I'm English, which means I would have known my place and said, thank you, goodbye. But the guy I'm with isn't English, and he's like, well, let's pray again. I tell you, these charismatics, man. Let's pray again. So the guy's like, sure. So we pray again, and the guy says, all the pain's left me. Now, he might be just being polite. So what the guy I'm with says, well, so we can really find that out, do you mind trying to do something that you couldn't do before? This guy says, well, normally I can't bend like this, and bends like it, and says, wow, I haven't been out of bend like this for years, and I've got no pain. He comes out behind the back, he lies on the floor, and starts doing all these aerobic stretches, like, I can't do this, now he can. I can't do this, now he can. I can't pull my leg up here, now he can. No pain. No pain. And this all started because the guy I was with was hungry for a little bit more of the Holy Spirit, and he got a prophetic word which encouraged him to go and do a little evangelism. And then when we prayed, the Holy Spirit healed this guy. And then salvation was easy. That's my job. I just said to the guy right now, what evidence do you need to know that God is real and he's alive and he loves you and he knows you and you need to let him in your life? And the guy was like, what do I do? So we led him to Christ right there in the petrol shop while people were queuing up to get their nachos and fuel. And the guy came to the Lord. That's the Holy Spirit for you. Someone say amen. So as I close, we need more of the Holy Spirit. The Bible tells us to drink of the Holy Spirit. Church, are we drinking? I'm going to tell you, we're not drinking. What I found out back in the days before Jesus, when I used to drink, my tolerance levels went up. Does that make sense? It's the same when I used to do drugs before Jesus. Your tolerance levels go up. You need to take more and more to experience more. And I challenge you with the Holy Spirit, it's never enough. He's never enough. He's always got more. Always got more. And if you're here, and this is the problem we have in the church, many of us in the church, because we're good Christians, we are giving out so much. Those of you who do charity work, those of you who do community work, those of you who care for people, parents, just your children will bleed you dry. Somebody say amen. But my point being is this, you're constantly giving out, constantly pouring out love, grace, service, and it's very hard for you to give what you haven't got. You can run dry, and you can't give what you don't have. Like, it's very hard to love. I do charity work full time, and I want to be honest with you, I don't like people. I'm an introvert, which means I don't like people. St- Stick me on a beach in a hammock with a book and a cocktail, and that's me set for life, honestly. This business of helping people and loving people is really hard, and I cannot do it with my love and my strength. But God gives me supernatural love, supernatural grace, supernatural patience, supernatural wisdom, supernatural strength. Amen. I was in a church 2 weeks ago down in Dorset, and a woman and I, they asked me to speak something about, it's Pentecost Sunday. I put a call out to church and said, if you are here and you've never had a word of knowledge or a prophetic word from the Lord, see me at the end and I guarantee you, you'll get one. Which is kind of bold, but the Holy Spirit was bold. I figured if it's Pentecost Sunday, when can I be bold? So a woman comes forward, a visitor from Ealing, and she says, I've been in the church 25 something years. I've never had a word of knowledge or a prophetic word. And I'm going to take you up. I said, fine. I was able to tell her about stuff going on in her family regarding her children, her cousin actually specifically, and I was able to tell her about her business and her career and what God was doing at the moment. Total stranger. And she was able to say, that's exactly true. How do you know that? Well, I don't know that. But the Holy Spirit knows that. Me, I know what I can't do, and I can't do much. But I know what God can do, and He can do everything. The people who know their God will be strong and will do mighty exploits. Church, how well do you know God? Because God is in the business of loving people, saving people, healing people today more than ever before. Some of us don't believe that. Some of us, that's actually more of us, don't believe that God could use us. I'm not good enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not qualified enough. No, you're not. None of us are. God is. All God wants us to do is to have a bit of faith. Just a bit of faith that He could do a miracle. So, as we close, Bible says that we stir up the Spirit by the laying of hands. Now, we're not going to get charismatic up the front because this is England. If any of you know the story, when Sandy Miller, the guy that invented Alpha before Nicky Gumbel, when he went off to a revival, I love this story, he went off to America and he came back and testified. The first thing they did for him is they had to pray the Britishness off of him. That's what they literally said. We're going to pray the Britishness off, because the Britishness is know your place and you can't. So, you know, it's I love it. Pray that, and this is the guy that designed Alpha before Nicky Gumbel, and he came back and went, that was so strange. They had to pray the Britishness off, which is worry about what everyone thinks, and know your place, and know your order, and I can't do this because I'm not special. Well, no, but God is, and He makes us special. And He loves taking the least qualified people to do mighty things for Him. He always has. Read the Bible. He still does today. Come and see what I'm doing in Uganda. And you would honestly say, how can you do stuff like that? And I'll tell you, well, it ain't me. So if you are here and you're with someone you know and you trust, I want you to take their hand. If you're here and you're not with someone that you know and you trust, find someone. I just want you to sit with them. Now, Corona protocol in place. If you're not comfortable, that's okay. Just stay where you are, because you can pray for yourself. We are going to place our own hand on ourselves, or we're going to take somebody else's hand, and we're going to ask that the Holy Spirit in us bless us and the person next to you. Amen? So, as I say, place your hand. I would take the hand of somebody you know, or just place your own hand on your heart. We can pray for ourselves. The Bible tells us that each one of us is a minister of the gospel, full of the Spirit of God, and His business is to bless people, especially His children. God loves His children. So Holy Spirit, we pray, come. Holy Spirit, come. We thank You, Lord, that You're already here. It's Sunday. This is Your house. We're Your people. My God, are You here? But we are praying, Spirit of God, for more. We need more, Lord. Lord, we come before You and we're weak and we are tired, so tired of this world, tired of nonsense, tired of just, you know, people abusing, mocking our faith, family members, even our own kids. We have loved them and they don't care. They don't even see how much we love them. Or parents, we're loving our parents and they don't see. Lord, we need more of you because your love overcomes. Your love changes the world. We pray for the grace of God to come into our life more than ever before. My God, we need wisdom. This world seems to be getting more and more stupid with what keeps going on. We need the wisdom of God. And as you said, Jesus, true worshippers worship in spirit and in truth. Lord, we need truth. And you are the spirit of truth. You tell us in John many times, the Holy Spirit is the spirit of truth. So spirit of truth, deliver us from lies. Spirit of truth, deliver us from fear. Because perfect love casts out all fear. And you've poured the perfect love of God into our hearts. Right now, Lord, we thank you that we can pray for ourselves and we can pray for each other because we are the children of God, filled with the Spirit of God. So right now, Lord, we pray, depression, go in Jesus' name. Stress, go in Jesus' name. Anxiety, go in Jesus' name. Pain in the body, go in Jesus' name. In any way our bodies are hurting, be healed in Jesus' name. And Lord, as we lay hands on ourselves and each other, we're praying for our family. Our families need healing. Our families need freedom. Our families need love. My God, do they need love of God. So Lord, as you bless us now, and we thank you, you are, bless our families, please. Bless their hearts. Bless their bodies, bless their spirit, bless them, Lord, because you are the blesser of blessings and you love to bless. Lord, we pray this day would be a new season. Help us, Spirit of God, to know you more, to feel you more, to want you more, to invite you more into our prayers, our relationships, and our lifestyle. Spirit of God, in your mercy, nudge us. Nudge us. Lord, we give you permission to nudge us. When we need to forgive someone quicker, nudge us. When we need to love someone quicker, nudge us. When we need to be more bold in faith, nudge us. When we need to sense and speak out what we're feeling or seeing or sensing, Holy Spirit, nudge us. But this is the hour of the Spirit of God to come. You tell us that you will pour out your Spirit on all flesh. In Joel 2, well, pour your Spirit out on our flesh, we pray, Lord God. We love you and thank you that you love us. And we need you and thank you that you want us. So we bless you, King Jesus. And in your name we have prayed and believed. And somebody in the house say, amen. 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 Well done, church. God bless you. I know we're Baptists. I once heard an old Baptist American, when he was asked, what denomination are you? He said, I am a Baptocostal. And I love that. Not a Pentecostal, because he was proud of his Baptist heritage, but he was charismatic. So he said, I'm a Baptocostal. I like that very much. Okay, we are, I don't know if we got Mary. I think Mary on prayers was next.